Yo, what's up? Last Exit.
Did we go right into it from the song?
Yeah, we all went right into it.
All
right.
That was my request.
U2 Discotheque.
1997 Discotheque from the Pop album.
All right. Yeah, that was the best year for music.
It was U2 and Hanson, I think, that year.
Oh, was that the year? I don't know why I know this, but
We weren't in Spice Girls territory yet.
Was that 98?
I think that was a year off.
Hanson, they had one song that I still like now. Mm-hmm. That song, Weird. Do you know that song?
I don't know. I just know the one song, the Mbop song.
Yeah, that's shit. it's weird. It's like the only songs that are like huge that become the biggest songs in the world are always just like shit songs. Like they did a song called Weird, and it's like a really good song. Like I was listening to it like a week ago.
Was that from that album?
Yeah.
Because I know that song had a little, they worked with the Dust Brothers on that album.
Oh, they did?
And that's what made it a little bit better, you know, because they used to work with Beck and stuff.
Yeah, I think they were like, you know, it's funny, this guy I went to high school with, like a good friend of mine, is like their keyboardist, like now. They still like tour around. I mean, yeah. I don't know if they're still around now, but like years ago.
What county fair are they playing at?
They're playing, I don't know, I was going to say something. They're playing.
There's no way they're playing.
I was going to say they're playing in the street, but that's actually normal, isn't it? They're playing in the playground.
They're playing Rye Playland, you know?
Well, back then when I saw him, the guy, like I hung out with him a few times. They were like doing TV appearances and stuff. Like I think they were on the. They're pushing a new album. It was kind of them trying to make a comeback. And they, it was funny. I was hanging out with him, and then we were out to like 4 a.m, and he had to get up to do the Today Show the next morning.
So you were hanging out with Hanson.
I was hanging out with my friend, but he's the keyboardist. Not. It's weird. They had like a band.
Oh yeah, because it was two brothers, right?
Three of them.
Oh, three. Right.
Yeah, there was like the really, really young one. Then there was the middle one who kind of seemed the most, the one who would sing the most. And then there was like the oldest one who was kind of ugly. Like the middle one was kind of like still like young and cute. I don't know. I'm not saying that to sound weird, but and then the young one was like kind of the mischievous one.
Yeah.
And the oldest one was
weird,
like
we should listen to that.
What?
We'll listen to it towards the end.
The song Weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play that. Yeah. It's a really good song. Yeah, you like that song, Discotheque?
You know, because that album was not very, like, U2 fans don't really like that album that much.
It's what else was on it?
I heard that they rushed the album, and there were some other songs. One song was kind of a hit, Staring at the Sun, maybe. Come on. It wasn't, that was like the one hit from it. And
do you remember when they did the thing recently where they just put their new album on everyone's iPod? That's kind of when they lost me. I mean, I've tried to listen to that album and I don't like it.
It's like when you can't even give your shit away for free.
Yeah, which is weird because it's U2, you know? Like, what happened?
Well, the sad thing was, makes you feel older, is that when they did that, it was like in 2014.
Yeah.
There were a lot of younger people like, who is this? I'm like, and I couldn't fathom that. How could no one know U2?
I know. I'm the same way. It happens to me all the time, too. Yeah. And I mean, I don't understand it either, but then I like think about it and I'm like, well, why would people know things like they're new? They weren't around.
I know. You just figure certain groups, like the people know the Beatles. I thought the U2 was like the Beatles of the 80s, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they were huge.
Right. And Bono's still around. He's like...
Yeah, they're still around. But I guess it's kind of like... I guess they're not as relevant as I thought they were now.
Right.
That was the one...
I don't think maybe they play the old music like they do the Beatles or the Rolling Stones and stuff like that. As much as those groups.
Yeah. Like, I had a moment like that where recently... In law school, we were studying a case. This was like a year ago, and the case had to do with Shirley MacLaine suing like Warner Brothers.
Shirley MacLaine, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you don't even know who she is.
No, I was, for some reason, I was thinking Shirley Temple for a minute. Yeah.
So this girl next to me, she's probably like 23, she's like, who's Shirley MacLaine? Which I was like, okay, all right, yeah, I get it. And then I was like, how can I explain who Shirley MacLaine is the easiest way? And I go, she's Warren Beatty's sister.
Right.
And she goes, who's Warren Beatty? And I was like, holy shit. Yeah, and then I did have that moment.
This year she found out who Warren Beatty was.
Now she knows. Yeah. That's
he's an old guy who can't read cards.
Yeah. He's an old guy who doesn't know how to think on his feet. I guess it's true. Like, how quick are you going to be at 75.
Right.
Like improv. And I don't think, again, we've talked about that. I think he was known for his improv.
Right. But if I was going to describe Shirley MacLaine, I wouldn't say Warren Beatty's brother. I'd be like, in every 80s and 90s movie, she was the surly mom who, like, was, you know, she was, like, always the mom who was, like...
I can name two of those. Were there more than two?
They're set. What do you got? Terms of Endearment.
Yeah, Terms of Endearment. And Police Academy 4. No, the Steel and Magnolias.
Yeah, and there was a few others. Like, wasn't there one where she was, like... the mom of the president or something like that?
She's guarding Tess.
Guarding Tess.
She's the widow of the president.
Right, right.
And Nicolas Cage is...
guarding Tess.
Is guarding Tess. I guess that's a thing if the former first lady for the rest of, or I guess the president too, right, has to get protected by Secret Service for the rest of their lives.
Right.
That was a pretty... Did you like that movie?
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty good, I think. That was Nicolas Cage in his heyday.
Yeah, he's done, right? Or is
he's still making movies. He's got to pay a tax bill, you know?
What happened? He doesn't have any money? What happens to these guys?
Well, you know what it is? It's because you read stories that he was like, I think we talked about this once. He was like, had so much money, but he was going through, he was buying like castles and castle money. You know, like the Beatles were buying castle. I don't think he has castle money.
No, apparently not. No. Why would you? What do you need castles for? That sounds like so not fun or comfortable.
I don't know, unless you're like a Game of Thrones or something.
I think it's just you're so rich. It just sounds like what if you're so rich you do.
Right. Well, did you hear that story this week that Johnny Depp has gone through all his money?
Is that true?
I don't know. Well, because he's like saying he was saying to the guy, his manager, you know, if I want to spend $30,000 a month on cotton balls, I'm allowed to do it. It's my money.
Yeah.
Apparently, because this was after the manager said that, you know, you're going through your money too quickly.
Yeah. So he's,
and now he's at Disney World, scaring people on a ride.
Oh, he like him in person.
Didn't you hear the story?
No, I haven't heard this.
Yeah, I guess it was promoting the movie. People went on the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and he just was there.
And you know how whether you see the pirates dancing? Well, he came in there, and he was actually Jack Sparrow. And
well, is he doing that like as a fun thing, or like because he has no money?
he had a hat asking for tips, I think. So
they're coming out with another one of those movies. Did you see the preview for it?
Yeah.
I've seen one of them. I don't understand them. I don't understand. Like, I understand them. I don't know why everyone wants to see them again.
People like him in it, you know? And plus, he's had like 10 bombs in a row, so he needs this one. If this one tanks, he's in trouble.
No, these always do well. These are like surefire. These are like Fast and the Furious.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You would think, but if it doesn't, it's over for him.
Yeah.
They're like, you can't make this work. We can't give you another Lone Ranger. Yeah.
Yeah. It's over for him. He's just going to have to live in his mansion.
No, he maybe go. Maybe he's broke.
They must have like some. What is it? These guys just now. I know, like, because I understand. Like, I'm learning about real estate and stuff, and like, you know, no one knows anything.
Right.
So if you get run into people, and these are your lawyers, and they're like, "I want to buy a house," the lawyer's like, "Yeah, all right."
Yeah. They steal.
Yeah,
they
take care of the house. Yeah, you go. You go buy some cotton balls.
Because so much money is coming in and out. That you figure when they hire these guys, they just figure, I know they're going to steal from me, but not too much. You know what I mean? And that's what you want. You want one of those guys who doesn't steal too much from you.
Yeah, these entertainment lawyers and these deals are being brokered. Like, Johnny, go fuck away. He kind of,
you don't want them to Billy Joel you know, where they just take it all, you know?
Is that what happened to him?
In the 80s, yeah.
Fucking idiot. I mean, I understand, like, you don't know things, but, I mean, just... When someone's like, here's $5 million, just take like $2 million and put it in an account. And then just be like, oh, I'm going to go there for have $2 million I'm not going to touch.
If you're one of these lawyers, don't steal everything. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, but that's asking a lot of a lawyer. You don't go into law to not steal everything. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just... I'm sure it's not even that. I think it's accountants and money managers. Right. A lawyer, you can only really fuck them over so much.
Yeah, whatever you call them, you know, whatever they're...
But, I mean, the amount of money that I get by on, and then, like, I see these guys, and they're like, I don't have any money. I'm like, you don't have any money? Come on. I feel like he got ruined by, what, that chick.
Yeah.
I feel like when he left that one chick and went to the, like, bitchy one, like, she basically just ruined him.
Mm-hmm.
Like... And you can tell it, like, destroyed, like, she's really, you know what I'm talking about, Amber Heard?
The last one, right?
Yeah, he was with this one chick for, like, years, and he had kids, and then I guess he left for this blonde chick who just looks like someone who would destroy you.
Right, but she's, like, 20, I'm sure.
She's, like, 20, and, like, I just love, like, she's such a shithead, she's, like, being bitchy to Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck you, Johnny Depp, you loser. Like, she made Johnny Depp a loser.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
Like one of the coolest guys ever.
Maybe the coolest guy in the world, yeah. Who's just like, oh, my God, this guy is, like, the greatest. And, like, now I've seen pictures of him. I know he's old and stuff, too. He's older, but he just looks like shit.
Yeah. Because he's party hard over the years.
Yeah, but I feel like he was one of those guys that, like, had these genes where he just looked amazing. Every picture of him. Yeah. I mean, he still looks amazing, yeah. But he looks like... the stories I've heard about her, like, she really fucked him over. It just shows, like, it doesn't end on any level, mm-hmm. You know? Even if you're Johnny Depp, there's some chick ruining your life. Not that I've had, you know, but I'm just saying, like, even if it's happening to him, like,
right.
It can happen to, like, I guess the point is, like, he should have stayed probably with that one chick and not been like, well, I'm going to, like, leave and with this 20-year-old.
It's the younger pussy, man.
I guess, I don't even think she's that hot, that other
chick. I saw Pacino's dating a 38-year-old. He's 77.
Wow, really? Yeah. That's kind of old. He was dating Beverly D'Angelo for a while.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I thought they were dating forever, but...
Yeah, but what is she like? 39? I mean, she's got to be like 65.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. She's hot, though. She remained hot.
She was.
I think she got hotter later, actually.
I always thought she was hot.
Yeah, she was hot in the Vacation movies. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, what were we talking about before that? You two? I don't know.
Something newsworthy.
So a couple of things happened. Jonathan Demme died, the director. Do you?
Silence of the Lambs.
Jonathan Demme, the dental technician. were you a big fan of his movies?
I don't. He did Silence of the Lambs. What else did he do?
That's it. Pirates of the Caribbean.
I should be.
You know, before we get into, I actually saw Fast and the Furious 8.
What's wrong with you?
I had this free pass, so, like, I saw it in, like, IMAX.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this will be great, because it's, like, IMAX, and it's just, like, things exploding and stuff.
Thumbs up?
I mean, it's just, like, it's, like, exactly what you would think it is. It's so, when was the last one of those
I saw the one, I don't know, where
The first one?
No, a recent one where he drove a car through a building.
Yeah.
And it flew into space and then landed into another building.
Yeah, that was the seventh one.
Okay, that one. I don't know. I don't think that's believable.
No. Well, the thing I don't understand is they never get flat tires.
That's what you think about.
Never. Well, I mean, if you're, you know what I mean? I've gotten a flat tire just from going on the side of the road. Like, this
right.
Guy's driving through a building. And I know it's not supposed to be realistic, but the fact that they're just able to do all these things and they never get a flat, any of them,
right?
And they drive, the chase scenes are like for like 30 minutes.
That's actually a funny bit you could do on stage.
I guess so. I'm trying to think of the stuff that happens in this one, like Charlize Theron.
I mean, you think they have
it?
Like an AAA car? No, is it triple? Which one's the one with the?
I think it's triple A. Well, they never like. Or, you know, they're always getting shot at, you know, and the beginning of the movie, he's like racing a guy and he's, you know, they do that thing. They do some of the engine where they, because it's always the same thing. They're losing the race and the guy's like, oh, he's going to lose. And then he like presses a button.
Right.
And they figured.
Why didn't they press the button at the beginning?
Well, I guess they do it. They save it to the end, but then they press the button and it goes really fast. And the guy's like, what? And then the guy does that too. And then he's going really fast.
Oh, okay.
So he's racing this guy at the beginning, and then he presses a button, and it's like a really shitty car, old car. So the car's like on fire, but he's still in the car driving. And then he can't see because it's on fire.
Is this
Vin Diesel?
Oh, God.
And then so he has to turn the car around and he races the rest of the race backwards because he can't see because the front's on fire and he wins the race.
Isn't he a bad guy in this movie, Vin Diesel?
Yeah, he like leaves. You know, it's so annoying. Every single one, they're like, family. It's all about family.
Yeah. Oh, we're all so close, family.
And then when Paul Walker died, apparently like his family was saying that like Vin Diesel like, was the biggest dick.
Yeah,
and
The Rock hates him too, right?
Everyone hates Vin Diesel. Yeah. You know, none of them get along, but the whole movie, they're like, family. And then there's like a baby throughout the whole. I'll give it away. Basically, Charlize Theron like recruits him to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's because he has a baby that he didn't know about with some woman. And then Charlize Theron has the baby and the woman. She's like, I'm going to murder them. If you don't like do all these, if you basically don't steal nuclear codes, but they also like, and then he like never explains to his friends.
Does she become a good guy at the end?
No.
Okay.
She looks really like weird in it.
Because some of those movies, the person becomes good at the end, and then all of a sudden they're in the next one.
No, she's well. That happened. I saw the last one. I don't even remember who was good. Like Jason Statham at the beginning, they hate him, and like they're in jail, you know, and The Rock's in jail. First of all, that guy's like so fucking jacked. It's like insane. Like he doesn't even look human.
Yeah.
Like him and Jason Statham are in a jail cell right next to each other, and they hate each other. I guess Jason Statham was bad in the last one, and then they become friends.
Right. I think they did. Wasn't Kurt, I don't know, Kurt Russell was one of them.
Kurt Russell's in it, and then Clint Eastwood's kid is in it. You can tell. I'm like, why is Clint Eastwood's kid in it? And I was like, oh, he's the new Paul Walker.
Oh, okay.
They got to get another just like kind of good-looking regular white guy in there, and he's like, but it I don't know, it just gets insane. They're like, and I hate, one thing I hate about those movies is the scenes, the fight scenes when they're hitting each other, because it's all just like breaking people's bones.
Right.
And they cap that noise of bones being broken. It's just and I'm just like, oh, God, it's horrible.
Well, you know what movie, it to me, reminds me a lot of Fast and Furious 8?
What?
Philadelphia?
Yeah, good segue. They did say that at the beginning of the movie, they say loosely based on, yeah, what I don't know, was like,
and who directed Philadelphia?
Jonathan Demme. Right. Well, you know, that was what that was kind of his 1-2 punch, because Silence of the Lambs won everything. And then Philadelphia came out like 2 years later, but it didn't win Best Picture. Philadelphia's not that good.
No, I always said, thought this, if you watch Philadelphia, they gave Hanks the Oscar for that. Because it was a brave role to take.
Right.
And whatever.
It was kind of the hip thing of the...
Right.
Well, it was the thing of the moment.
But if you watch that movie, he's really not the star. Denzel Washington is really the star.
Oh, really?
If you watch Denzel Washington, he's more the conflicted. He's the one who's really the story.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
The other guy is just kind of like the sick guy who needs help.
Yeah.
Really, you know, so... When they gave it to him for that, and I think it was a lot of it has to do with the politics of it, you know,
yeah.
The Oscar. And then he was nominated for Forrest Gump.
Right,
kind of had to give it to
it
him.
It was really that was so funny watching that.
Yeah, I mean, you had to give it to him for Forrest Gump.
It was funny when that happened because that was exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Like Philadelphia was like, oh, yeah, he's good, yeah. Yeah. And then Forrest Gump came out, it was like, oh, well, the great, like, I mean, that movie. I know people think it's like cheesy and stuff. I mean, it's such a good movie, yeah. And he's so fucking good in it.
But I think that was a reward for his career before Philadelphia was kind of dropping a little bit. He was in a league of his our own.
Oh, well, what happened was he did Bonfire of the Vanities. That really hurt him for like a couple of years. And then League of Their Own was kind of his comeback.
And people, for our younger listeners.
Yeah.
No, but back then, like even in the early 90s, like you could not, like, portraying a gay person as a straight actor or just being a gay, you know, gay character in anything.
Yeah.
That it really pigeonholed you or kind of could hurt your career, especially with like someone like Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
So he put himself on a limb. If that didn't, that movie didn't do well.
Right. That happened with Tom Hanks and then the guy, the kid from Who's the Boss got pigeonholed after he played the kid in Who's the Boss.
Because he was gay.
Well, I just remember like, you know, Who's the Boss came out,
right?
And he was like a kid. I mean, you know, I think it was like 84. Right. He was like 8. And so he was just a kid. And then like 4 years went by and I just didn't watch Who's the Boss anymore. Yeah. And I remember when I was just going through the channel. Remember like there were like 3 channels.
Yeah.
And so you only had a choice of like 3 things. I just remember turning on Who's the Boss. It had been like 4 years. And he was just like... He was just like gay.
Yeah.
Like he had just become kind of older and was, I could not believe how gay he was acting.
Well, because when
I know this sounds horrible, but he really was effeminate.
Right. Well, he couldn't tell when the kid was young because all the little kids are kind
exactly.
of the same.
Yeah. Like all kids, all little kids act gay.
He even
no, I'm just kidding.
He even said though, like when he was a young kid, I read that he would get like tons of letters from like pedophiles who watched the show.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I was sending him letters. I'm not even a pedophile. No, if I was like famous, like I would get so much hate mail from like the shit I've said on this podcast.
Oh yeah,
just like I'm not homophobic, but like I've said things that would be very like. Irresponsible.
Can't say anything anymore.
That's the thing. Like, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying he, and I've seen this said about him. Like, he even says, he's like, I started to get older and I was like gay. I started realizing I was gay.
I don't
think
what you're saying is bad. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I've heard, so, because I remember I turned on the TV and he was like, Tony. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, when was the last time I watched this fucking thing?
But then you slowly saw Alyssa Milano become from a little kid to being super hot. Too.
Oh, that was weird too. She, yeah. I remember, not on that show really, but I remember like she started doing movies and then she was like naked in movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. She just became like the hottest chick in the world.
Right.
Like so smoke. She's still like pretty hot.
Yeah, I remember when I was really into it. She was hot. And then I heard that she was like a big baseball fan. Like because I like baseball. And I'm
we
like wow.
It's meant to be.
No, I'm just like, that is a fucking perfect girl.
Oh,
hot
right.
girl who just wants to watch baseball.
Yeah, you know, I get the feeling if you ended up with her, it wouldn't just be that. Just because she likes baseball, it wouldn't just be
no, I know.
You on the couch. Yeah, I'm sure she'd be really low maintenance today. Alyssa, what do you want to do? Just watch baseball and fuck you. All right. No, so do you remember any of his other movies?
Jonathan Demme.
This is another thing that I...
Yeah, I'm going through the list.
This is one thing I really... Do you like Silence of the Lambs?
Well, you know, remember his brother died a few
yeah,
years
Ted
ago.
Yeah, Ted Demme. He died like a while ago.
Yeah, and he would be like more of the MTV director.
And he died like young.
Yeah, he did. Swing Shift, which is actually not a bad movie. Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn. That's an old movie.
Yeah, it's not that good.
He
did...
He made Stop Making Sense from Talking
Yeah,
Heads.
I saw part of that.
All right. Something Wild. That's a good movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah. I actually love that movie. Jeff Daniels, Melanie Griffith.
I want to watch that one.
Then he did a movie called Married to the Mob right after that, which is like is actually a really good movie.
That is a good movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I think it's really underrated. And I think Something Wild is too. Like it's... Michelle Pfeiffer and Matthew Modine is like great in it. Like, and I've never ever said that. Like,
no, I don't think anyone's ever said that.
Not even Matthew Modine's parents. No, like Matthew Modine had like a 4-year stretch of like, oh, this guy might be like the biggest star because he did Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Oh, he was on the cusp. He was right there.
Yeah.
I think what killed him when he was in that movie, that pirate movie with Gina Davis.
Yeah, that didn't help him.
And because it was originally supposed to go to Michael Douglas, and he didn't want to be in it.
Right, so the next person you go to is
Modine.
Matthew Modine. No,
he's good on Stranger Things, though.
Oh, he's on that?
Yeah.
He also, another thing that killed me, did a movie with Jennifer Grey called Wind.
Oh.
Sorry. Like, that just sounds awful.
Yeah.
It's about sailing. Wind! Cutthroat Island was the one.
Cutthroat
I think
Island.
It was Rennie Harlan directed
yeah.
it. He did Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And he did, what else did he
do? Die Hard 2.
Oh, yeah. Die Hard 2 is not that good.
No.
Yeah, Rennie Harlan sucked. Gina Davis was, like, married to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did Full Metal Jacket. And I think the problem was he did that movie, and Stanley Kubrick like makes you work on a movie for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So he was on that movie for like 2 years. And then I read an interview because he did Married to the Mob right after that. And he said, it's really funny because he's really goofy in Married to the Mob. And he's kind of funny and it's like light. And he said he was really depressed the whole time he made it because of Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, really?
He said he was like, I wanted to do a light movie, but the whole movie he was depressed. It's really weird when you hear that, like... you'll be really into a movie and then you hear the behind the movie and it's not at all what you would think. Like Michael J. Fox talks about Back to the Future. He says he doesn't even remember filming half of it because he was so tired. He was doing Family Ties at the same time.
Yeah.
What else? You have it right there. What else? I'm sorry to make you.
No. So I have.
Because then he like fell off kind of hard.
Well, I know in Something Wild that was Ray Liotta was in that.
Yeah,
and
he's
I heard
great
that's how he
it.
Got the Goodfellas role.
Oh, really?
From that performance.
And you know how he got Something Wild? He was dating Melanie Griffith at
oh,
the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
But he's really good in it. Like, he's one of the Something
Wild.
Did
he play a crazy guy?
Yeah. Well, he and the thing is, like, he plays a crazy guy, but he's really scary in it. Like, he really seems, like, scary. And Jeff Daniels is great in it.
Manchurian Candidate, the remake.
Oh, that yeah, I didn't even see that. It looked like shit.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
then he did a movie like just recently. I the one thing I remember, he won for Silence of the Lambs, and his acceptance speech is like incoherent.
Oh, is it real?
It's like horror. It's one of the worst acceptance speech. I remember when it was happening, being like, "What is this?" He's really nervous, and you can and they don't really cut him off or something.
Is he like coked up or something?
I think he's just freaked out. You know what I mean? Like he's kind of I think he's kind of a weird guy, and I don't think he's. That's the thing with these award shows. It's like the whole show is giving awards to people who like are awkward and don't want to be in
right.
the spotlight. That's why they're working in the art department.
Right. So why have them go up there? That's why they
have
so many categories with non actors. Just fucking. Let's just have more actors.
Right.
Up
it's
there.
People who like are not comfortable speaking.
Yeah.
You're watching them speak. That's why for 3 hours, people are like, I'm going to thank. And then they like play them. And then it gets awkward because they're like, get out of here.
Yeah. Their wife and kids and your people. And
yeah. Like, let me see if I can find his. All right. So anyway, that was I thought that was kind of a big one. He was good. Like he was one of like. Those kind of like auteur directors that are very distinct.
Did you like
vision.
Silence of the Lambs?
You know what's weird?
People love that movie. I don't love it.
You don't?
I like it.
I think it's good. And I didn't, when it won the Oscar, I was really surprised. And people refer to that as like a horror movie. Do you think it's like a horror movie?
It seems like one to me.
Yeah, but it's like weird because like it's not. I mean, I guess it's scary.
I guess it's
though.
A crime thriller, maybe kind of.
Yeah. What do you think is better? Because I remember this was a big thing like around this time. Like Cape Fear came out right after it.
Yeah.
And people were always like, Cape Fear buries it. What do you? I don't think that's true. Actually, though.
I like that the new Cape Fear, but I guess it wasn't original. So you know.
I also don't think the new Cape Fear is even that great. And Silence of the Lambs is like way better. Silence of the Lambs has a much better like the how it culminates is good, like that whole twist at the end when she shows up to the house,
mm-hmm.
and you think the FBI is at the house that she basically it's like the FBI is outside of a house. There's like 50 FBI agents with guns and they're ringing the doorbell, and do you remember and you see Buffalo Bill, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the basement, his bell is ringing. Like right. He has a crazy bell, and like everything's crazy about him, even his doorbell. And then
put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, and then like he showing the FBI people press it, and then they cut to the bell, and then he goes upstairs, and when he opens the door, it's Jodie Foster, not the FBI. So she's at his house, and they're like somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
So that's like a really good twist because you're like, oh, the FBI's there, and then like it's just her, and she thinks she's just like investigating someone who might have known the victim.
But she gets him at the end, doesn't she?
She does, but it's like that's what's really good because she goes in there really innocent and doesn't have any idea, and he's just kind of weird.
Do you like that Buffalo Bill guy?
Yeah, that guy was really good. And talk about, like, he could never do anything else.
Well, it's weird. It took him years but finally, I think when he stopped looking like that guy.
Right.
Did you ever see that show Monk?
No, he was on that.
He was like one of the detectives on it. He had a mustache.
He was?
Yeah, you couldn't believe it's the same guy. He looked like Dennis Franz, you know, in NYPD Blue.
Because he was one of those guys that must have been a problem because he was so good in it. Yeah. He must have shown up to auditions. And he wasn't famous, so, you know, people only were probably like, oh, that's really Buffalo Bill. Mm. Like, he probably showed up to auditions. And was like, isn't that how he talked?
Yeah, but he doesn't talk like, he has like a deep voice.
That's not how he sounds.
Is it close?
Do you remember Colin Kane? Do you know who that is?
Comic, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know him?
A little bit.
He had a joke where he like imitated him. It's kind of weird. Yeah. Right. I don't know why I brought that up. But yeah, I thought it was good. I feel like as years went on, I've gotten more into it.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's not one of my all-time favorites, but you know.
Yeah, it's people love it, though.
He did like 8 of those movies after that.
Here, I'm going to play a little of his speech.
Okay.
Tom, I mean, I don't remember. I haven't seen this in years, but I do remember it was like a thing.
Jonathan Demme, 1992 yeah. Oscars.
Kevin Costner's giving it away. Remember when Kevin Costner was like the shit?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
To Jonathan Demme for Silence of the Lambs.
He's kissing his wife.
Yeah, he's like making out with his wife. Mm. All right, so it's one of those things I haven't seen since it happened. And this was back in the day where you would just see things and then you would never see them again.
Right.
So you just had a memory of it. He just I think he's like, and I remember they just wouldn't stop.
Well, in the context of my movie loving life, this is very unanticipated.
He didn't think he was going to win.
I don't think so. I don't think people thought he was going to win.
Understand this is to recognize that I had the great good fortune to have a chance to work with Ted Talley's great adaptation of Thomas Harris's.
I'm not gonna like shit on him. I mean, he had a good life, yeah. Right? Like he was 73.
Yeah, he did. You know,
he was great. I liked him because he was kind of weird. He was like a cool, like weird film director.
Yeah, no, he was. Yeah.
So this is a good segue. So, Aaron Morin died.
Oh yeah,
from Happy Days.
No, she was Joni.
Yeah, she was Chachi. Why can't Chachi die? That guy's gonna live forever. So have you heard anything about this?
Like, so she died, and then Scott Baio,
yeah,
thought that she died of a drug overdose. He started posting some stuff about it on Twitter. Then he found out that she had
in
cancer.
An interview. Yeah, he was like, "Oh, if you drink and do drugs, like you're gonna die." And then I guess she had cancer.
Right. So then he was kind of backtracking on Twitter, but then somehow people were going back and forth, shitting on him, and it.
Well, everyone hates him. I mean, he's such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and Aaron Morin's brother said that she told him that he had a small penis or something, which could explain. So at least explains the Trump vote, right?
Right,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. So at least it didn't go to anywhere petty or weird. It's just when you see fights get out of hand like that, and they go to the level of you have a small dick, like you know things have gone too far.
But I think that's where we are as society. Like, think about how many times Trump used that.
Did he?
Well, you talked about Marco Rubio's small hands. You know, I mean, it's like where are we now?
It's just so funny, like that would happen, and then the guy would win.
Like you heard what Trump said today, right?
I want to get to, but I just think that's the funniest part. Like that happened and that guy won, became president and like no one cares.
With Scott Baio's endorsement. Yeah.
So yeah. What did he say today? I don't even, what did he say? It's like, isn't it like his 100th day or something?
Well, he had an interview and now people, you know, they said, he said he didn't think this president was going to be so hard to be a president. The job.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He said that in an interview?
And he also said that he missed his old life.
Really?
Yeah. So he doesn't understand when a president says something.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know, people look at this, and I'm sure people out there are like, maybe he'll fucking just quit, you know?
No, there's no way. In fact, he's probably, you know, I'm just banking on he'll be reelected, and they'll probably change some law where he'll be reelected, like, for the rest of his life. That's literally what I'm prepared for. I'm just like, no more like, oh, yeah, this is going to, like... and, you know, kind of like the campaign. Oh, this will be over in a month. I'm like, no, this is going to go on for like till he's just dead.
Especially with the healthcare thing. They keep trying to, they can't get it through because they keep making it worse and worse.
They want to vote on that again?
But they don't have the votes.
Why do they keep talking about it?
Because they're trying to, Trump says, I want it passed now. And they're like, well, this bill basically sucks. And we can't pass it. He's like, do it by my 100th day. He's not going to.
Well, he would have had to do it today because his 100th day is Sunday, right? So they were just scrambling. This is the thing with him. It's just kind of like he, as a businessman, you could, you know, do things like that. You could like threaten people and bluff. And be like, all right, we have to do it now or else I'm taking the deal away. And that would work. And if it didn't, you could just be like, well, I'm taking the deal somewhere else.
Right.
But he didn't realize that it's just Congress. You don't go to another Congress.
Right.
I think most people in most elections don't understand how the government works. That it's not just, I like this guy and he says things and now these are the things.
Well, there's also with him is there's a lot of people in Congress and the representatives who, they may be Republicans, but they're in a Hillary district. Like they voted for Hillary for president, but the representative was a Republican. So they don't owe him anything. And if they vote for a bad healthcare deal, that'll fuck their constituents.
Is that what it is? They don't want to pass it? Because getting
fuck
it
them,
passed,
they're just doing it for a favor for him. Yeah. They'll lose their job next year.
And then it's all going to be on that. I guess that's the problem. That's what everyone's saying now is, for so long, they've just been the party of like complaining and like opposing everything. And we're like, we're not going to let anything. So now when you're the person, it's like, they're just it's so ingrained in their head to not do anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they passed the resolution for healthcare, I don't know, like 80 times when they were the minority party.
Right.
They have everything now.
Yeah.
They actually need Democratic votes to not shut down the government.
Yeah.
And they don't even need them, but they're crazies.
I love how, when that happened, a while ago with the healthcare didn't go through and he was like, oh, well, no Democrats voted for it. It's just like, why are you like, and no irony and no like sense of awareness that like, why would any Democrats just like,
you don't need them. You have
that too. But also like, why would you even like think any of them would like support you?
Right.
You're taking away the policy of their party.
Plus, it's literally taking healthcare away from 20 million.
Right.
You want to sign on that? You know?
Just such an odd, like, that you would even have that thought. Like, I'm trying to compare it to something in my life. Like, you know, if I, you know, I don't know, bang someone's wife, and then, like, I was trying to, like, raise money. And I was like, well, this guy whose wife I banged wouldn't give me any of the money. Like, I don't understand this. And it's like, why would this guy do anything for that? That's not a good analogy.
No, that's pretty good. But he's like off the deep end. You hear the story. Someone went to visit with him. I forgot who it was, but he went to visit Trump. Something unrelated, something just reporters or something, whatever, talked about certain things. And at the beginning of the meeting, he like hands all the people who came to the meeting a map of the Electoral College about, you know, when he won and stuff.
Yeah.
And just like, oh.
Like still gloating about winning?
And like a map. Like these are the states I won. And he handed it out.
And it was like a meeting?
Yeah, it was a meeting like reporters. It had nothing to do with any, like he just was.
Right. And is it also like people who supported him, it doesn't matter what he does because they don't want to, even if they disagree with or what he's doing or they don't like what he's doing, it's just they can't admit being wrong or something. So
like I see it, they've been interviewing some of them and they're like, so what do you give him? They're like, oh, I'll give him a B. I'm like, a B? A B is good.
He hasn't gotten anything done. I guess what, the Supreme Court thing?
Yeah.
But he didn't even do that, right? Wasn't it Mitch McConnell?
Right.
Like he had to change. Didn't he just change the rules?
And it was just a stolen seat.
So I don't understand that. Why didn't the Democrats do anything about that before?
They could.
No, but before when it was their guy.
Because you need the Senate to consent. That's what. But you could try.
Yeah.
See, they used to do this thing where they were called recess appointments. When the Congress was on recess, you could slip a guy in.
Yeah.
But now the Congress is never on recess. There's always one guy who hangs out there to make sure that they're not on recess.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
So, anyway, so Aaron Morin died.
I want to do politics for a minute.
Well, you know, every conversation about Aaron Morin goes into politics. Everything Trump is kind of like porn. It just everything goes into him eventually. Ends up you end up there. I mean,
it's a sad story. I mean,
what?
It's a sad story with her.
Had you ever seen? It is a really sad story. Like, had you ever seen anything with her in the last like 15 years?
No, I don't think so. Well, I just read something that she didn't even want to go on Joni Loves Chachi.
She didn't?
No, because she was happy. Like, a Happy Days was a big show, but they kind of forced her to do it. But then they came back after that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
After Joni and Chachi.
Did you ever see that show?
No. I feel like I was really young when it was on. Like, not young enough that I wouldn't remember, but it wasn't on long enough. It was only on, like, one season.
I just know that the one thing with that show was that, remember Al? Do you ever watch Happy Days?
Yeah.
Like Al, the guy who worked
Al at, Molinaro?
Yeah, that worked at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Arnold's or something.
Arnold's, right.
So
right.
Then Joni,
Mr. Miyagi worked there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so Joni and Chachi like left the show, and I think they went on the road or something like that.
Like in the show? Like doing what?
Well, they were in a rock band.
Oh, they were?
That was the whole thing.
Sorry.
But they wanted to get some of the Happy Days people for so inexplicably, like
Al is in the band.
No, he wasn't in the band, but they just had to find, I don't remember what.
He was just there on tour with them.
I don't know if they were on tour or they went to another city, but Al came with them, for the guy who owns the restaurant. Think about the
exactly,
diner you
like,
go,
yeah,
you go
like,
to.
Right. Like, I would even be friends with that guy. Yeah, like, imagine just going to my diner and being like, hey, do you want to like come on tour with me and my girlfriend? No, I work in a diner. or if he was like, can I just go? I'd be like, no. That is weird. That happens in shows a lot. Like, yeah, they're just friends with the people at the diner.
I think
like,
that happened to Laverne and Shirley. I think they moved to California. And then for some reason, like, Lenny and Squiggy, like, we're going to go too.
And we're going to live next door to you, right next door. Right. They moved to California. Yeah. They lived in Milwaukee.
That's a jump the shark moment for that show.
Yeah. And do you remember who like one of their next door neighbors in California was? They were next door neighbors with this hot blonde who was the chick from Police Academy.
Oh, all right.
Who, like, with like the big tits. Leslie Easterbrook. Callahan.
Okay.
And every joke, there was always a joke of some gag every movie with her tits, something.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, she was the one that in the first, you know, like Police Academy, there were like six jokes that they would do every movie,
yeah,
over again, like running theme
like
jokes.
Like Tackleberry was a tackle. Who's the one of the guy? Who
Tackleberry.
Yeah.
It was like him with guns.
Yeah.
But they'd always have a joke. It was always the tit girl. There'd be a scene where her tits would come out or something, and she'd be teaching, and she'd be like, all right, who wants to help me now? And then they'd all run at her.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Is that girl?
Like, she was in the pool, and she gets in the pool, and, like, she has a wet shirt on, and she's like, now save me. Who wants to save me? And all the guys jump to save her. And then the one, like, Hooks was the shy black woman, and then at the end, she always yells, finally.
Yeah.
Don't move, dirtbag. But the whole movie, she's like,
yeah, because it was all the same joke. The first movie worked, so they just repeated the jokes.
Right. In this. That's like how stupid people are. And like, it's just like, and it wasn't a thing where we'd be like, oh, I can't believe the same joke. People would like be like, oh, yeah, that again. She's yelling again.
I mean, I think there were some good movies in the 80s. I feel like comedy movies weren't necessarily the strong spot there. There's some.
Yeah.
There's some.
Like what? Like, well, like Spinal. This is like, what's one of your favorite comedies from the 80s? They did have good ones.
Right. But there was a lot of garbage. Like, I think people got a little hipper in the 90s where the bad ones weren't that bad. You
right.
Know? I'm just trying to.
In the 90s, right, when Beverly Hills Cop 3 came out. That's when everyone got, hey, we know what's bad now. Another 48 hours.
But they were just cheesy, the ones in the 80s, like the the comedies were cheesy. Like,
do you think it's
ones.
Because you just got older, and so in your mind, people got more savvy? People have gotten more savvy. It's like, no, you're just not dumb anymore. Because I do remember...
Some of them don't hold up. Maybe they just don't hold up.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I'm very into that now. I rewatch movies now to see if they hold up.
Yeah.
Like Porky's 2 totally holds up. No, but like when Police Academy came out in 84, you could not have told me there was a better movie than that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
But
when
no,
it
it's
out,
but
when it
it's,
came out. Yeah,
but it's not a good. But I mean, like, I saw Spinal Tap, and that came out the same day. And I went to see Spinal Tap. My family, like my sisters, took me to see it. And I was like, "What is this shit?" I think it was like a 10 or 11. Right. I literally was like, "What is this?"
You were too young for that.
I just was like, "I don't get it." Like, it's just a band, and I don't. So what? Like,
right.
I don't think I knew it was a joke.
Right.
And then Police Academy wouldn't let me see, and I, even though they're both rated R, and then I saw Police Academy snuck in, and I remember leaving and being like, I literally remember saying to a friend of mine, like, you know, I would say that's like easily a 9. Easily. And then, I mean, it's not, I mean, it's fine, but it's not like good.
But you know, it's weird. It's a silly comedy that doesn't hold up, but then you look at some of the... Actually, I shouldn't say the 80s were bad, because all those Zucker Brothers movies were in the
80s. Zucker, and, you know, like Bill Murray and all that.
Yeah,
it's
actually, and 80s had a really good...
It did. It's just there were a lot of bad ones, too.
Yeah.
Like,
but all those... I mean, Airplane and the Naked Gun, I mean, those still hold
up.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah.
Those fucking still are
Ghostbusters,
funny.
Yeah. Stripes, Caddyshack.
Yeah, I guess I was wrong with that. Theory.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even think of any funny movies in the 90s.
There was no good music being made in the 70s or the 60s. So Aaron Moore. Oh, so speaking of really bad movies, one thing I remember about Aaron Moore. Well, first of all, like, she was another one that, like, was young, but then she kind of got hot, right?
Yeah.
Didn't she get, like, really hot in the show?
On Happy Days, yeah.
But then, like, did you see her? I'm sure you've seen pictures of her recently. Like, she, and I remember years ago, she was on that show that they did on VH1, Celebrity Fit Club, where it was like, why don't you just, it's basically like showbiz is saying to you, like, it's too late for you to, like, go back to school. Like, this is all you can do now. Because, right. I mean, that show... I mean, is nothing more than just humiliating people.
Yeah.
I mean,
I never like to watch those shows.
Well, I mean, that's kind of why I like was addicted to it. Yeah. I mean, because it was just people like who clearly had no options.
Right.
So it was like, okay, go on a show where like you have to lose weight.
Yeah.
And she was on that, and I remember being like blown away by how badly she had aged. Like, yeah. I guess she was a bad drinker.
Well, she was obviously a drug addict. I mean, at one point.
Yeah, she was homeless at one point.
Yeah, but that ages you. That's what really ages you.
Being homeless?
That's not good for you.
No, that's not good for your skin.
Kids,
I've
don't
heard.
Don't be homeless. Any
yeah, don't get
listening.
That really hurts your looks. I've never, like, seen, oh, wow, look really good. But that's the, so, like, how much money do you think she made from Happy Days?
No, they sued years later, all the Happy Days people, because they never got profits from the toys, which was probably a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the other... You know, ancillary
and
products.
They got like $50,000 or something.
Yeah, and they got fucked. But back then, everyone got fucked and all that stuff.
That's so amazing.
Ron Howard got lucky that he found something after that show. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jeez. I mean, that and how awkward would that be? Like, you know, I'm sure she was like trying to hang out with him.
Yeah, he could have thrown her a bone. He like
that's the other thing. Why
he owns Hollywood?
Why don't I know? Why don't any of them do anything for them? I used to like. Kind of, I mean, I didn't really know her. Like Ben Stiller's sister. Did you ever meet her?
Yes, yeah.
She was, I don't know if she still is, but she was a comic. I would see her at like open mics. And she was really nice, but like every time I saw her in a movie with him, it was like she would have like one line. I'm like, come on, dude.
Right. But in fairness, they gave her something, you know? And
that's true. They did give her something. But
she was on King of Queens for years.
Amy Stiller?
Because the dad would always play different.
Oh,
roles.
Right. Yeah, she should be on King of Queens.
Right.
Like, if my family was like famous, I would be like, dude, you have to make me famous.
Right.
Like,
I think there's only so much you can do because you can't, like, it's not when these movies are made, it's not your money being invested. So if you.
I think that's true, but
if you
put
a family member in every movie and give them the starring role, someone's going to go, like, we can't do this. Yeah. So I think they actually, to be honest, they might probably
that would be so funny.
Yeah, they probably did the best they could in that situation. For
they probably did. I do think he could have like given her like three. There was a movie where literally she had no lines.
Right, right.
Maybe she got cut out.
Maybe.
But it is really funny when you see that. Like Kirk Douglas has like eight sons.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you know any of them besides one Michael
of them,
Douglas?
One of them killed them himself.
Yeah, of course he did.
He was a stand-up
comic.
What
was his name?
Yeah. His name was Eric Douglas.
I'm not laughing at that, but yeah, he was a stand-up comic. I mean, but it's
I heard a good story about him.
If I was Kirk Douglas's son and Michael, like, what's his excuse when he's talking to people when they're like, why aren't you doing anything? He's like, well, it's all who you know. You know, all I have is my brother and my dad. I think what happens is they're dicks. I think they just don't want to help them.
I think there might have been a drug thing with him. Because if the kid is on drugs, it's like Marlon Brando's kid where they're all fucked up.
Yeah.
The parents, for a while, they want to just disown them and teach them a lesson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to teach you a lesson by never talking to you again. And Michael Douglas's son, like, murdered someone or something.
Well, yeah.
Didn't he? Or he was like a heroin addict?
Well, I know the story. Yes, yeah. But I know the story. I think it was
Michael. They gave him a shot.
Eric Douglas. I think it's him. You want to hear the story? Or
sure, yeah. Because I think someone has told me, yeah, that one of them was. I have a funny story. Maybe it's the same story, but go ahead.
You go first.
No, you go. You go.
About him doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know where. This might be urban legend. I heard. He was doing a set and he was bombing. Is this the story?
I think I heard. We could say it.
Because I can't believe you people. What are you doing? I'm Michael Douglas's son. And someone in the audience goes, no, I'm Michael Douglas's son. Or I'm Kirk Douglas's son. Do you know what that means? Like Spartacus?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I'm Spartacus. I'm Kirk Douglas' son. Someone goes, no, I'm Kirk Douglas' son.
Oh, yeah, because they all say I'm
Spartacus.
Yeah,
no, I'm Spartacus. No,
I never heard that one.
Yeah. What's your story?
I heard this story. That apparently, I don't know if it's true. It was at the Strip, and he was on stage, and Michael Douglas and Zeta Jones came in there, and he was having a hard time. So he was actually kind of riffing, trying to riff with Zeta Jones. And he was making fun of her, you know, being Scottish, and then she's like, "I'm Welsh."
he's even being heckled by like his friends and relatives.
Well, I don't think he was in heckling. I think he was just panicking.
Yeah.
So I think he started fucking with her. He's like, "Ah, you're just Scottish anyway," and she's like, "I'm Welsh."
Yeah, but I mean, she could have just played along.
I know.
She has to like call him out. I'm Welsh. Is that sounds like it could be true?
That sounds like it because it's not like amazingly funny, but it's like.
Have you ever done that? Were you ever done a show and then there's just some weird celebrity in the crowd?
Yeah. Who was it? Oh, Tay Diggs.
Oh, yeah. I think Sheba told me that, actually.
Sometimes. I mean, I find out later. Recently, it was a cast member from Orange is the New Black who was in the audience.
Oh, which one?
No One You Know. She was like she's like a lesser character. Like,
I went to high school with one of the lesser characters.
Which one? Who?
Her name is Salinas. I don't know the show. I've never. Is that a good show?
I like it, yeah.
I've heard it's good. Yeah. She's like Latino.
Oh, okay.
Salinas Leva is her name.
Yeah, there's a few Latino women on the show. One's smoking hot.
That's like a huge show, right?
Yeah.
That's like a pretty big. It's funny because like she's one of the main people. Like they did, Rolling Stone did like a thing and she was like one of the people featured.
I bet. All right, I'll look at it. Salinas, what's her
Leva,
name?
Leva, L-E-Y-V-A.
Right, keep talking while I look it up.
There was something else I was going to say. You know who I saw on the train today? This isn't a great story. I saw Richard Kind. Do you know who that is?
He floats around the city a lot because he's a theater guy.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Salinas, S-E-L-E-N-I-S, Leva, L-E-Y-V-A. She loves this podcast.
Okay, go ahead.
No, she doesn't. No, I just saw her in Rolling. I've never seen the show. I just saw her in Rolling Stone. But we were talking about. You mentioned before about movies that don't hold up. That's right. This is what I was going to say. So Erin Moran, she got really hot at the end of Happy Days, and then like one thing I really remember, but that's always stuck out to me. I saw her in this TV movie when I was like 8, and it was called Twirl. And it's her and Blair from Facts of Life.
Oh, that's so funny.
And it's about baton twirlers. They're baton twirling contestants. And I mean, and I think she's supposed to be like the best one.
Right.
And her, you know, Lisa Welchel, who's Blair, is like her best friend, and they're competing with each other.
It's like Bring It On, but with twirling.
Yeah, but I don't think it was like a joke. I remember being really serious when I was like a kid, and she feels a lot of pressure. And anyway, she looks like so hot in it. So it's one of those things, like I just have that impression from when I was a kid, and that's always kind of what I remember her from. And like... You couldn't have told me that wasn't like a great movie. You know what I mean?
You
like,
thought it was great?
I mean, I was eight. You know, I'm eight. You know, you don't know things. You just see things like on a screen, and you haven't been around long enough. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Wow. Because at that age, you're barely out of the phase of like pointing at things. You know what I mean? And being like amazed by them.
Oh, 1981, this movie?
Yeah, I was looking for the trailer.
I was looking for the Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it was a TV. I mean, dude, yeah, it's so awful. But I don't think it was like a black comedy or like it was taking itself really seriously. But it is kind of... And then what happens is that in the last competition, she drops her baton. And it's like this really, you know, dramatic moment. She's like... Everyone's staring at her. Sure. It's like, oh god! And I think Blair wins. And then her dad in it is the guy. Did you ever watch Hill Street Blues?
Yeah.
Remember Ranko?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think he's like the Southern guy. He's like the dad.
How do you remember?
I don't know.
I can't even remember yesterday. You're remembering.
I remember like the stupidest, weird things like that. Yeah. Like I don't know if it was a thing from when I was a kid. Like I just remember these.
Yeah, bad movies from when you're a kid. Sometimes
maybe I just watched way too much TV.
It seems like it.
Yeah, I guess my parents didn't like do a good job of being like, you can't watch that. Like, I'm watching Twirl. I remember, like, one week my mom was like, you can't watch TV. And, like, I think after, like, a day, she was just like, whatever. I don't want to talk to you.
Well, back then, there wasn't a lot of channels, so you would actually sit through a shitty movie.
Yeah.
You know, and because you're like,
it's like this or go outside. It's like this or read. Yeah, I mean, I would just, like, I'd be on the Hamptons during the summer, and during the day, like, Small Wonder would be on.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to watch this.
We better.
Yeah, you need to wrap it up. All right.
All right. What have we learned this week? Anything?
Nothing. I know. We just bullshitted about nothing. All right. All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks a lot. All right. Bye.